The universe is made of billions of stars. This is the Boop Show, gaming news you can use for August 21st, 2014. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Boop Show, episode 8. And here we are, doing it to it. More on that billions of stars thing later. It's actually in the news. I don't make references for no reason, man. Just back off. Back off, man! This is Scott Johnson, and like I said, it's Boop, and that means we gotta talk about stuff. Before I get into the news, Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition feels like an entirely new game for me. And I am a big fan of the current iteration of Diablo 3 as it currently resides on PC and Mac. And I'm an even bigger fan of it once it hit its loot 2.0 sweet spot and dropped the auction house and got an expansion and re-rolled loot and made everything better. And it was already good, and now it's really good. It's so good, it's my favorite game. Well, definitely my favorite expansion in a very long time, but it's made Diablo 3 as important a game to me as any in this modern era. So, what to my surprise, when I loaded up Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition on the PlayStation 4, I didn't play the previous console D3 games, okay? So that bears saying. I didn't play those. But I'm playing this, and man, what is old is new again. It's no small feat, right? To take a game like that and then move it to console and then have it work really well, and to the point that some could argue, I'm not sure I'm arguing this, but some could argue it's better on a console. I mean, direct control makes a huge difference. I think that's a huge change. It changes up everything, really. I mean, how the game feels. And I think that's why it's fun to go through again, because I'm playing it in a way that doesn't feel the same. So it feels like a different experience, even though I'm seeing a lot of the same stuff. I'm experiencing the same core story. There's some bonuses and things thrown in there, but for the most part, that's there. The little dodge move with the second stick. Boy, that makes me wish the PC had that, to be honest. Like a little extra key I could just hit to dodge out of the way. You know, that isn't part of an ability. Everybody's got a dodge with that second stick, which is great. Co-op feels more meaningful when you're all on the couch, me and the kids. The way they've handled all that stuff is really smart. The way loot is handled is really awesome. Kind of genius, actually. For those who don't know, you pop a dude and out comes loot, right? Sometimes if it's good loot, hovering over its visage there is a little circle with P1, P2, P3, or P4 if you have up to four players. If you're single player, it doesn't do any of that. It's just there. But if there's two or more of you, it'll say which player can pick up which loot. So they figured out a way to make it still be instanced loot the way it is on the PC without you having to do it the way they do it on the PC, which would be impossible on a single screen where you're all co-oping in the same screen, right? It's really smart. Really, really well done. And all the things that would seem like weird transitions from a PC control scheme and use case to a console and a controller, they've seemed to have really thought about those things. I mean, I'm already a unabashed Blizzard fanboy, but I'm really impressed with the work they did here. It's pretty awesome. I mean, these even classes, I'm enjoying classes in the game that I usually pass on when it comes to the PC version of this or any other Diablo or even action RPG game. I'm not really big on melee, for example. I like a lot of ranged combat. And here, there are lots of fun to play melee. So I'm finally, I think, enjoying a barbarian for what he is meant to be enjoyed as. Not to say he's not great on the PC, it's just not my style there. But here, feels great. Range also feels great. So I'm glad it's on the PC, and I'm glad that that's the place where all the spearhead of development ends up. But with this really great port, I think it's worth it even for veterans of the series to pick it up. If you got a console, one of the new consoles, PS4 or Xbox One, there's no reason not to. I think it's real good. And I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And I'm really excited to kind of go through it on a few different levels. One, just kind of on my own when I'm playing occasionally here and there and with the kids. Because it's really fun rolling around with three of us. It's awesome. Guys should pick it up. It appears that Microsoft is going to start offering 24-hour demos of Xbox One games to Gold subscribers. Are you a Gold subscriber? Of course you are. Aren't we all? Well, I'm not right now. But I will be when I get a One. I keep telling you, they just haven't given me a reason to get it. But I will. It appears as if Microsoft has begun a new program that would allow Gold subscribers to demo certain games for a 24-hour period. This according to an image shared on Reddit. The image said this. Well, the user posted this about the image. Yes, I am in a preview program. I already own the game, so it doesn't work for me. All it does for me is go to the store, and I can select play from there because I already own it. But if you don't own it, the idea is that these games would be 24 hours of you being able to play it like a demo. Instead of saying, oh, here's a quick demo of Madden or whatever. Not Madden. That's not a good example. Let's say the new Gears of War game that's coming out. In theory, although I don't know if the big AAA, you know, big launch titles are even going to be considered for this. But let's just say for a second they are. You see it. You want to try it. You're not sure if you want it. You can play it for 24 hours. Now, if that's true, there are a lot of games you can beat in a lot less than 24 hours. In fact, most games, unless they're big multiplayer fests or whatever. So maybe this is not accurate in terms of every game being 24 hours. Maybe it depends. Maybe multiplayer only experiences are that long. That seems reasonable. I don't know. The guys at Polygon actually reached out to Microsoft for comment. They say they have yet to hear back from them, at least at the time they put up this post. So maybe an update will come. But having a way or an ability to let players do a whole free day would be a really nice addition for live subscribers. And a pretty powerful tool for a third party who maybe wants to promote the game as such. You know, our game, you can play for a whole day over here, not on Sony, but over here you can. I mean, that seems strong. These console makers are doing interesting stuff, man. I'm kind of enjoying the ride. 500 gigabyte Xbox 360 media drive was unveiled. Still got a 360, still trying to milk all you can out of it. Priced at the relatively reasonable $110. Joystick reports the new box is the biggest media drive yet for the 360. If you remember, they used to have, I think they had an 80 gig, or maybe it was a 40 in the beginning. 80, 120. Anyway, it's $20 cheaper than the current 320 gig edition, which you could have gotten at Walmart today. Coming in at 110 on retail shelves. And that's pretty good. That's stateside price. Don't know if that's different in the UK or anywhere else. But if you were looking to expand your Xbox 360's storage capability, by gum, they got you covered. It takes a billion years to see all of No Man's Sky. That's what they're saying. The developers say, quote, with a 32-bit number, it would take you 4,000 or 5,000 years to see every planet if you spend only a second on each one. So it's not necessarily infinite, right? However, the developer has noted that it's now using a 64-bit number to procedurally produce No Man's Sky's universe, which means effectively they have doubled the size of everything. This means it will take you roughly 5 billion years to see every planet in the game. 5 billion years. Like you could have done it with the 5,000 number. This one will take you 5 billion. Mm-hmm. Right. That'll happen. To see each planet in the game. That it's not infinite, but still pretty huge. And PC players, I guess we talked about this before, but you'll have this game too, so don't worry. It'll launch on the PS4 and then off to the PC, and nobody has any idea when it's launching anywhere. So still, kind of vaporware until we see it, but it's the vaporware I want the most. Oh, I want your vaporware. Oculus's Carmack, John Carmack, Doom, Quake, you know, him, Rockets. What else is he into? Sweet cars. Looking like a nerd on stage. Quitting his own company, working at, well, Facebook now, I guess, because they own the Oculus Rift. He has called out Notch. He called out Marcus Persson. You know, Notch, creator of Minecraft. Because earlier this year, Notch, if you recall, said that his game would no longer be coming to the Oculus Rift in any official way because the company's acquisition by Facebook. He said in a tweet, Facebook creeps me out. Well, it was actually a blog post. And seems like he's feeling a little bit better about it. He said this recently. About now, I am officially over being upset at Facebook for buying Oculus. I'm upset about there being a hole in my favorite sock instead. I wonder how many new socks he could afford. Let's think about that for a minute. How will you spend your Minecraft money, Marcus? John Carmack, co-creator of Doom and the Oculus convert. He's not really a convert as much as he was. He was there at the beginning. Remember that? I mean, if he was a convert, it was in the very early days. He's the one that showed up at that E3 years ago with the super heavy duty prototype of the Oculus, which was mainly like duct tape and like, I don't know what that stuff was. Stuff you get at like a hardware store wrapped around his head. Do you guys remember that? I totally remember that. He's at the center of this legal battle still with ZeniMax. But he responded enthusiastically and said, because ZeniMax owns id Software now, said, say the word, ship the source, and I'll make sure it runs well, and you know that, he wrote. Now, put some perspective on this. John Carmack is one of Notch's heroes. He has said it before many times. So when your hero reaches out to you on Twitter and says, just send it over, we'll make it work, what do you do, man? I think you send it over and make it work. Assassin's Creed competitive killing takes a break. Aww. Here's an official quote from Ubisoft. With Assassin's Creed Unity, this is the French one coming up this year, the pillars of the franchise have evolved thanks to the potential of new generation consoles. With that evolution, we wanted to bring a new type of multiplayer experience, which was asked for by fans and which we wanted to explore for a long time. That would be cooperative gameplay. You know where this is going. Our aim was to have a seamless single to multi experience. This is why we're not opposing single player and co-op. We have ancestral missions dealing with Arno's story. Arno, I still can't deal with his name, Arno. And Brotherhood missions dealing with Arno's duties toward the Brotherhood. That means no competitive multiplayer, which I think is still innovative and really fun. And I'm super sad to hear it's not going to be in here. Let me read between the lines. This is, we didn't have time to get it going and to make it work. Metal Gear fan remake featuring the actual David Hayter, voice of Metal Gear, of Solid Snake, rather, has been shut down. You guys hear about this? You hear about this? A remake of the original Metal Gear, not Metal Gear Solid, for clarity. We're talking about the old NES stuff. The reported featuring David Hayter reprising his long years role as Solid Snake has been shut down. This according to, who wrote this? Joystick put this up. According to Metal Gear Informer, that's where they're getting this. The site reports that a producer on the game told them that the guys over at Konami could not agree on a decision, so they had no choice but to shut us down. Aww. Not everyone can be Valve and say, hey, we really like your Half-Life 1 remake. We're going to make it official and you can launch it on Steam. Not everybody thinks that way. Konami, I mean, what's Konami doing? They're holding on to everything for dear life, dude. They are not the powerhouse dev they used to be. Not since Arch Rivals in the arcade. You guys remember that game? It's a basketball game. You guys remember that? EA Access offers 6 pre-launch hours with Madden NFL 15. We talked about this, didn't we? A little bit. Here's the problem, though. Everybody thought that pre-launch stuff was going to be days with it. And as it turns out, the game will only be exclusively available to Xbox One owners with EA Access membership subscriptions, and would only be there for 6 full hours of game time. And that's it. So that better be enough for you, or else, well, that's all you're going to get. Now, I still say, people are like, yeah, that sucks. I want full access for as long as I want until it launches. You knew they weren't going to do that, but I still say it's a good deal. It still seems like a pretty good deal. I don't love, you know, EA, and I don't dig on how they do certain things. But I still think it's a good value for the money, for what they want to charge. Blizzard said Microsoft demanded 1080p for Diablo 3 on Xbox One. Speaking of Diablo, when it was originally announced or they were getting ready for launch, there was word that it was going to be a lower resolution than the PS4 version, which is kind of a problem across the board. A lot of these developers are like, yeah, on the Xbox One, it'll be 700 by 12 something or whatever. And on the PlayStation, 1080p, woo! And then people get mad and have a dumb fight on the internet. Well, Here's what they said. We did find it challenging early to get it on, get it up to 1080p. That's why we made the decision to drop to 900. That's what we demoed and we were showing around E3. Microsoft was like, this is unacceptable. You need to figure out a way to make a better resolution. The conversation couldn't have been that simple. Just run into a guy at Microsoft. This is unacceptable. You need to figure out a way to make it better. So we worked with them directly. They gave us code to update it. And we the bottom line is it's 1080p now. So be happy, you Xbox One lovers and owners. It's running fine. I hear there's a little slowdown, but, you know, nothing nobody can deal with. It'll be fine. Star Wars Commander is out for iOS. I've installed it. I played a little bit, and it's basically Clash of Clans, but set in the Star Wars universe. I think I'm okay with that. That's a cool gameplay set of mechanics, and those games sell like crazy and do really well, the clones and the original Clash of Clans. So they've taken that gameplay idea. They've added some of their own twists, and I'm not deep enough to tell you how those twists pan out, but I can tell you it looks really nice. I'm kind of blown away by the visuals of the game. Some really nifty animation stuff going on. And they've got the right vibe to it. It's all set in the, you know, Darth Vader, Obi-Wan Kenobi era, you know, the good era. Ain't no prequels all up in this. So, yeah, go check it out. It's free. Won't cost you a dime. Download it. Try it. Tell us what you think. Finally, Robin Williams, immortalized as the genie, or a genie, in World of Warcraft. At least that is what this looks like. At wowhead.com, a place anybody who plays World of Warcraft goes frequently to find out about where an item is or what NPC you got to talk to or where on such and such map a quest takes place or whatever. They have data mined a character or an NPC, non-player character, called Robin, spelled just like his name, his first name. This is in the expansion data, patch data for Warlords of Draenor. It's in the beta. The model looks like a genie. So it's a big genie with swirling stuff below his waist and all kind of genie stuff all up on his body. It looks like it's made completely, new. It doesn't look, how do I put this? It doesn't look like an old model they just skinned. It looks like something they may have done just for this. And so everybody is leaning into the obvious thing, which is this is, you know, the Aladdin movie and it's his character from that and so on. There are two other Robin NPCs also coming with the patch. One of them might be a Mrs. Doubtfire connection of some sort. And the other one I'm not sure about. But interesting, right? Blizzard's just kind of sticking it in there in a little fun thing for people to deal with and have and hold and stuff. What am I trying to say? I don't even know. All right, let's lean in hard to our user reviews, emails, and suggestions segment. I told you I wasn't going to read any reviews for a while, but I got one I couldn't pass up. I got to read you this one, and then we'll move on to emails. Maybe that's how I'll do that. I'll do one goofball review and then do emails after that. Huh? Hey, look at that. What's that? A compromise? Is that what I smell? Oh, it smells good. All right. This is for, well, look how timely. It's for Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition. It's a review from somebody named Stephanie, and this was on the website, you might be familiar with it, Amazon.com. All right? I'm sparing you anything from Metacritic today. Pros. It's a pros and con deal. Pros, none. All right? I'll tell you something. Cons. Here we go. One, only six classes and all of them are boring except the wizard. Two, horrible PvP. How about there is none? Three, why would you say horrible PvP when there is no PvP? Anyway, three, not first person like Call of Duty, for example. Oh, well, clearly that's a problem. Four, every map look depressing and hell-like. Yeah, a Diablo game about fighting demons in hell. Every map looks hell-like. That's awesome. Why isn't that in the pro? Anyway, whatever. Five, quests are boring. Six, way too easy to level up. He put two spelled wrong, T-O. Seven, cheaper on last gen. Well, it's not the same game, but sure. Eight, combat works great, except that it is boring. 9. The Crusader class is generic of a paladin from MapleStory. Okay. And then 10. Lag. Lag. All right. That's all I'm doing today, okay? Got an email from Supa. Supa said, do you live stream the Boop Show? If so, when is it? Thanks. Nope, I don't. It's purely straight up to RSS and podcast feeds and apps and play it on the website or whatever. There is no live edition of the show. I'm thinking about doing a video archive of it, but I might need to hire one of you out there to take the audio and then put screenshots and stuff to coincide with when I'm talking about things. And then help me get that video in a place where then I could download it back from you and put it up online on the YouTube channel. If anyone's interested in that, boopshow@gmail.com. All right. I don't know how I'll determine which one of you would be the best at that because I'm sure I'll get multiples. But if you give me a good enough reason and you're a reliable dude and you work for pennies, and then I'm your man. Got an email from Dwayne Guzman, heir to the Luis Guzman fortune. Says, hey, Scott, love the show and for the horde. Oh, yeah, indeed. Last show, you were talking about your favorite retro game system, and just like you, I love the SNES as well. Growing up with an NES and Sega was so much fun, but today it's different with Sony and Microsoft on top now. So my question is, do you think we will ever see Nintendo back on top or someone new beating out Sony or Microsoft one day? I have to say the Dreamcast is one of my favorite systems ever. Thanks for your time, Dwayne. All right, Dwayne. I see a scenario where Nintendo could do it again. Absolutely. They have the library and the chops. They just don't. They got to get back to what matters. I don't know where. I don't know what's going on with them. I mean, we wouldn't talk like this if the Wii U was a giant success. We'd be talking about how genius they are again. But they have cycles, and I think they'll come back around. Be literally on top, it's possible. I mean, Microsoft came out of nowhere and entered the market and didn't do very well the first time in, I would remind you. Sony came out of nowhere and took it over for a while. Yeah, I mean, well, who's to say that somebody couldn't do that? Could Google? It'd have to be a pretty big company at this point, all right, to break in now. These aren't the heady days, the early days, right, where you can get in because no one else is doing anything. But a big company with a lot of money, Google could do it, Apple could do it, Facebook could do it. I hate to say it, but they could. They have the money. I'm just saying they have the money. I don't mean they, you know, I'm not talking about this thing would be called Facebook and you have to like it before you can play it. I don't mean that. I just mean they have the money and the wherewithal to build a company, build a division or a company that makes video games and makes a console. That is entirely possible. But I don't know for sure if that will ever happen. But I guess what I'm saying is don't be surprised that something does. I don't think it's like, oh, for the next 100 years, it's Sony and Microsoft. It never goes like that. Name another company where that's true, except maybe General Foods or something like that. But when we're talking about like electronics, entertainment, computer stuff, changes too quickly. New players come in all the time. Felicia wrote in. I'm sure this is Felicia Day. Let's just assume it is. Scott, regarding playing one game at a time until you beat it, I'm definitely one of those creatures. I referred to those people last week, by the way, or last episode on, what was it, Monday, as special little snowflakes. I like to focus on the universe of that game, and if it's a really good game, immerse myself so much I almost become obsessive about it, and it's all I talk about, finding myself relating to life experiences with the theme of the game. Right now, I'm playing Dishonored, non-lethal after beating it in Lethal, and I'm mentally in that world until I finish that story. Thank you for your passion and all the work you do, Felicia. I wish I was more like you. That is some singular sweet focus that I just don't have anymore for games. Occasionally I do when they're amazing, when they're just amazing. Like the ultimate in gameplay storytelling or whatever. I felt this way about Portal 2. I felt that way, and that's all I wanted to do, and that's all I cared about until I beat it. What else is like that for me? Ocarina of Time was like that when I played it the first time. Mario 64. And like back in the day, they weren't really good stories or anything, but Quake. Quake was all I wanted to do. I cared about nothing but Quake for a long time there. And there are people today, all they do is League of Legends, or all they do is Dota 2, or all they do is StarCraft, or all they do is whatever. I don't think I'm that guy anymore. I like the diversity of the experiences. I'm going to keep on playing it, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. about a couple of recommendations. What you should be playing. I think you should be playing Ziggurat still. They've been doing some nice updates since we last spoke. I know I talked highly about it before. Some balancing stuff, some bug fixes, UI tweaks, options tweaks, and most importantly, some new things. And I really enjoy my time in that game. Continues to get most of my PC play right now. Ziggurat, Z-I-G-G-U-R-A-T. It's rad. Totally fun. And still only like $12. Also, of course, Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition on new-gen consoles. That is awesome. It is fun. You should play it as we get closer to pulling the wrapping off of freaking the games. Just escaped my head. Destiny. And next month, I feel like these two are going to hold me nice for the next little while. I don't know. I'm sure something else will come up. Plenty of mobile things going on. Started playing Luftrausers again on the Vita. Ain't nothing wrong with that game either. That's it. That's it. We're done. This is a show and we're done. We're out. Frogpants.com/boop is our web address. Boopshow@gmail.com. B-O-O-P show at gmail.com. On Twitter, find us at boopshow. 206-339-1320 is our phone number. Didn't get any calls this week, so what are you guys doing, man? Slacking on the calls. 206-339-1320 or your attached MP3s will work fine as well. Boopshow.reddit.com is our subreddit. A lot of the stories we got today are from there. I check it, so if you're going to use it, do, because I do check it. You can also cast streaming repeats of this show at alphageekradio.com. Our music is by the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. You can support this show by buying stuff at the Frogpants store at frogpants.com/store. It's going to do it for me. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week for a brand new show. We are out.
Frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.